everyone, and welcome to the Las Musas podcast. My name is Chantel Acevedo, and I'm the author of the Muse Squad books, The Cassandra Curse and its sequel, The Mystery of the Tenth. Today, I'm joined by Annika Fajardo, Emma Otegi, and Vanessa Torres. And today on this episode of Ask a Musa, we'll be talking about picture books, revising and resubmitting, and the agent editor call. Annika, can you start us off by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your book?
My name is Annika Fajardo, and I'm the author of What If a Fish, a middle grade novel from Simon & Schuster Books for Young Readers. It came out in the summer of 2020. And What If a Fish is about 11-year-old half-Colombian Eddie Aguado, who's trying to figure out his place in the world growing up in Minneapolis. And then he ends up going to Colombia and getting to know his Colombian side.
Okay, thank you. Vanessa?
Okay, I had to clap a little bit there because I'm from Minneapolis. So when I heard Minneapolis, I was super excited. So I'm Vanessa. I'm the author of The Turning Point. It's a young adult novel coming out in spring of 2022 through Penguin Random House Knopf. And it follows Rosa Dominguez, a ballet dancer in the early 1980s Minneapolis, navigating complex family expectations, a new love, and her own aspirations to dance for the Purple One himself, Prince, who just happens to be rehearsing for the movie Purple Rain in the upstairs studio.
Awesome. How about you, Emma?
Sure. My name is Emma Otegi. I write picture books and middle grade novels about Latin American history and what it's like being a Latina in the United States right now. My recent books include A Sled for Gobble, Silver Meadows Summer, and Martí's Song for Freedom.
Great. And Muse Squad is about 11-year-old Callie Martinez Silva, who discovers she's one of the nine muses of classical mythology when she accidentally turns her best friend into a pop star. So let's get started with the questions. This listener has just finished writing a picture book with a Latinx main character and wants to know, which publishing houses are the best home for books featuring Latinx, BIPOC, and marginalized characters? Do you recommend getting an agent first, or should the author submit to these publishing houses on their own? And finally, would there be any benefits to self-publishing a picture book instead of going the traditional route? So let's hear from Annika first.
That is such a great question, and congratulations, because it's such an accomplishment to write and complete a book of any kind, and the world definitely needs more Latinx and BIPOC characters, so that's extra great. The path to publishing varies depending on your goals and your interests and your patience level or your impatience level, and unfortunately also the whims of the industry. All big publishing houses require agents, and I believe more and more smaller houses are also looking for agent work. Find an agent who's a good fit for you and your work can be hard. And it's important to keep in mind it's not necessarily a reflection of the quality of your own work, but more of the whims of the industry. Traditional publishing is a tough industry for everyone, but especially marginalized writers, I think. Other options do include self-publishing. I would also recommend trying contests. I think Lee and Lowe does a contest for unagented writers, and SCBWI is also a really great resource for contests. So good luck.
So my recommendation is that you only pursue self-publishing if you have both the network and the resources to not only edit and produce the book, you know, meaning cover design, book design yourself, but also to be your own warehouse, your own sales team. If you happen to be someone who has an enormous platform, you have a million followers on lots of social media networks, you have a team that you know, that works with you on whatever your professional brand is that has gotten you such a large network, then I think I have seen examples of self-publishing going well for people. But for the most part, I think that if you're writing a picture book, traditional publishing is going to offer a lot to you, not only in terms of the professional expertise that the publisher brings to the book itself. So that means having, you know, of course, top editors and illustrators, but also in terms of actually getting your books to readers, which is, of course, the challenge once your book is published. So I definitely recommend pursuing traditional publishing. I think that the strategy that you pursue is, there are a few different ways to approach it, but I think the most important takeaway for me when people ask me, you know, should I be, you know, your choices are sort of, you can approach smaller presses that accept unagented manuscripts and try to find a publisher that way. You can get an agent and then approach larger presses. Those are kind of your two choices. You could do both at the same time, be looking for an agent while also approaching smaller presses by yourself. But I think the most important part of all of that is those are sort of the three approaches, right? You do smaller presses, you query agents, or you do both at the same time. Whichever one of those approaches you take, I really feel like the mentality has to switch to the professionalism of publishing a book, and that there are no shortcuts. I think that people think there must be a more expedient path. And of course, we do want to be expedient with our words and with our work. But I also think that what I often see people asking me is like, what is the quickest way to do this in a very slow process? And all of us can tell you, it probably took between, you know, 2 years, and sometimes for picture books a little bit longer from the time the book was acquired by a publisher to be published. So if your book is something that you're really passionate about and that means a lot to you and that you care a lot about publishing it in the best possible way, I think the extra time it might take you to find an agent is going to be hugely beneficial in the long run. And it is a long run, hopefully.
Thank you, Emma. How about you, Vanessa?
Well, I will second everything that was said before, and also congratulations on finishing a book. It is a huge accomplishment, as we all know here on this panel. I will say that yes, diversity in publishing needs work. I mean, one just has to look at the statistics of it all. And I mean, people of color are featured much less than white characters. I mean, 27% of books published in like 2019 featured characters of animals and 5% Latinx characters. So the numbers speak for themselves. So yes, let's get that book out there. As far as just finding who has interest in your book and your characters, Manuscript Wishlist is a great place to check, manuscriptwishlist.com. And you can just type in search words and agents will pop up and editors will pop up who are looking for books that feature whatever your book features. And I found that super useful when I was looking for my agent, and even just like what pub houses would my agent possibly be subbing to. I also follow quite a few people who are like book bloggers for BIPOC writers. And one that I really love is Sharnay, and she has a website and really active on Twitter. It's called Here We Read, here and W-E-E, weread.com. And she actually has a really good post right now. It's called Diversity and Publishing A to Z. And she lists like all the publishers who tend to lean towards publishing BIPOC writers. So I suggest checking her out. She's great. And Manuscript Wishlist is also a really good resource.
Thanks, Vanessa. I'm not sure I have much to add. I would just echo what everyone has said. I think it's all good advice. And if anything, just to repeat Emma's note on that, if it's a project that is in your heart and worth pursuing, then it's also worth the time that it takes to go the traditional route. And it can be a long time. And I know often we just want our books and our pictures out there in the world immediately, but it is a long process. And I would say, shoot your shot and believe in it. And really just, you know, aim as high as you can. That would be my advice. So let's move on to the next question. This listener has heard that revise and resubmits don't usually lead anywhere and wants to know, when is a revise and resubmit request worthwhile? Have you ever done a revise and resubmit and not been offered representation and or not had the project acquired? Have you ever turned down a revise and resubmit and why? So Anika, what are your thoughts?
It's so exciting to get an R&R or revise and resubmit request from an agent. It means that they like something about your work. Maybe it's your premise or your characters or your voice, but that the book isn't quite working for them either because of the market or there's something they need, something different in it. And they're usually interested in getting to know you as a writer before signing with you, or they wish they could figure out how to place your book in the market and they want to see if you can bring that out. I had an R&R request from an agent that I didn't do. She took time to write an extensive edit letter without offering representation, which was a lot of work and dedication on her end. And I really appreciated the time that she took to think through my book. So I didn't respond to her, but when I did rewrite it on my own, I resubmitted to that agent again. And unfortunately, she wanted yet another R&R. And by that point, I actually already had an offer from my current agent. So I think that you can take it into consideration, but it's not a requirement just because an agent offers you one. I have done an R&R with an editor just recently, and this has been a really long, drawn out process back and forth. And I'm still waiting on the outcome. So fingers crossed that that turns out well, but doing the non-contractual rewrites made the book a better piece of writing. So in the end, no matter what happens with that particular editor, it was 100% worth my time and effort to work with them. It was like a little crash course in writing. I learned so much through the process.
How about you, Emma?
So I've been in just about every scenario that the reader question asked about, in that I have done revise and resubmits for agents. I have done revise and resubmits for editors. I have had them work out. I have had them not work out. So the answer is that I have almost always taken agents and editors up on the opportunity to revise a manuscript with their editorial direction and notes. Now, my word of caution is that, of course, you are working without a contract when you are doing a revise and resubmit. And the notes that the editor or agent provides you with are not going to be the same notes as every single editor. I know right now I'm working on something where my agent has put some feelers out to editors, and we've gotten different and conflicting feedback from different editors. So the challenge is that if you agree to revise and resubmit, you have to be okay with whatever fruits are going to come of this unpaid labor that you are going to be doing. And in some cases, that would not be worth it, right? If you get that editorial letter from the agent or editor, and those notes do not resonate with you, and there is no version of the world in which you would be happy with the manuscript that was altered in the ways in which that person recommended, then you should turn down the revise and resubmit. If it's, and I think this is something that's particularly important for Latina authors and illustrators, you are coming from a cultural identity that is probably going to be different from the people you are submitting to. Not always, and hopefully publishing will become more diverse as time goes on, but in many cases you are negotiating different cultural reference points, and you are the one who has to decide whether that feedback is the right feedback for you. But if it is the right feedback for you, not when you first get it, because of course when you first get it, you're going to be like, how could this person have said this? But when you've had some time to really consider that feedback, if you think that it might make your work better, it's, in my experience, it has been worth it. Now, I did two revisions of a manuscript for an agent once, didn't get an offer of representation in the end. I once did a full revision of a novel for an editor, didn't get an offer in the end. But in each of those editorial processes, I learned a lot about how to work with an agent and editor, how to revise better, because revision is itself a skill that you will get better at with time. That moment when you get that editorial letter and you're like, I have no idea what to do with these notes or how to fix these problems that this editor has raised, you will get better at figuring out, what do I do next? What's my next first step when I'm stuck in a manuscript? And so I think that a revise and resubmit is often a really, it can often be a nice opportunity if it is making your work better and it is making you better as a writer. It's also the case, I tend to be very pragmatic when thinking about submissions. If somebody is offering you a revise and resubmit, and that's the best offer that you're getting, absolutely, like Chantal said, aim high, go after it. And the outcome might not work out, but you might have a better manuscript in the end, and you might be a better writer. Again, with the caveat that being okay with doing a bunch of work that might not actually lead to, might not lead to any form of financial compensation, might not lead to advancing your career in any tangible way, that's a lot to swallow. So you have to make a decision about whether it's worth it for you in the individual circumstance. But I have found that many times working with those professionals is a great opportunity, even the times that it hasn't worked out for me, because I've kind of gotten to see how things work on the inside, how professional editors work, and that has made me a better writer and a more professional writer.
Thanks, Emma. Vanessa, your thoughts?
Well, getting an R&R is super exciting, whether you're going to take the direction or not. If it comes from an agent or an editor, they took the time to basically give you an edit letter. And, you know, they're very busy people. And so taking a look at it, at least, is totally worth it. And then if you don't choose to go that direction, you still have like an edit letter. If you ever get stuck, if you keep getting the same feedback, then you can go back to it and say to yourself, maybe there is something to this. And even if you don't do the R&R for that person, when you submit again, they'll remember you because they took the time to actually do the R&R. I signed my agent after an R&R, actually. I actually received two R&Rs at the same time within the same week from two different agents, and they both had very similar feedback. So I was like, okay, maybe there is something to this. And so I took the time, and it took me, you know, I really took my time. I took about 3 months to revise and then resubmitted, and they both offered within the same couple of days. And so there you go. And so then I had choices. So it was totally worth it for me. The only way I wouldn't have done it would have been if I didn't agree with the direction that they wanted to take the book. And, you know, sometimes they're doing it also because whatever's on their plate at that very moment, they might not have time to sign right then and go through the trenches with you right at that moment. So they're giving themselves time to kind of step back a little bit and see what you can do, kind of feeling out how you take direction, you know, how you work together. It can be sort of like a trial run. So it's definitely, I think, you know, worth looking at. So good luck if you get one.
Yeah, and I agree. Getting an R&R is exciting at whatever level you get it at, because it means that someone not only is interested in your work, but invested in it, you know, and they have certain aspirations for it and potentially for you and your career. So, I mean, I think it's all good news. Like everyone else has already said, I think when you get those notes and you have those conversations, you have to really dig deep and ask yourself, are these changes that you are willing to make? And are these changes that you're comfortable with? And even more importantly, are these changes that you agree with this person will make the work better? And if the answer is no, then perhaps this is not for you then, right? Because especially with an agent and an editor, you are also laying down the groundwork for a particular kind of working relationship. And so if you're not sort of communicating on the same level or on the same page, it might not work out in the long run. So you have to kind of take a deep breath, take your time making the decision, right? There's no rush, it's not a race, and make sure that it's the right decision for you and for your work. I was offered a revise and resubmit when I was going out with, I was changing agents, and this was with an adult literary novel. And I had already published a few of them. And this agent, very, very early in the submission process to agents, wanted to revise and resubmit. And I did not go for it because she also wanted me to sign a contract, not of representation, but of exclusivity. And I had just sent the book out to other people. And she was asking me to pull it from everyone else. And I wasn't comfortable doing that. So I said no. But some agents will be like that, right? Like this was a kind of a high-powered agent with some very big names. And so she also did not want to waste her time. And I understand that and respected that. And I moved on and it worked out for me. Though I'm sure her notes were probably spectacular notes. So a part of me always wishes, like, I wish I knew what she wanted to tell me about that book. But no, it all worked out in the end. But ultimately, I think it's a very good thing. That's positive news. And so congratulations to everyone out there getting an R&R, and good luck with your decision. All right, one more question. This listener wants to know, what are good questions to ask on the call with an agent or an editor? What are good questions? What are the things that we need to remember to ask when we're talking to an editor and an agent who might represent us in our work? So Annika, go ahead.
Knowing that you're going to have a call, the call is so exciting. And I'm sure we all remember exactly where we were and everything about that special call. I clicked right away with my agent on our call. I had just spoken to another agent who I did not click with. So it was really obvious right away that I was clicking with my now agent. She really understood my book and what I was trying to do. She understood my characters on a really deep level that really meant something to me. She did want me to do more work on it before shopping it around, but there was the basis of just a really big respect for my work and the story I was telling. And other agents wanted so many changes and were kind of unenthusiastic about a book, even though they were considering offering me representation. And for me, I wanted somebody to be enthusiastic about my work. The best advice I have for having a call with an agent is to ask if her clients will talk with you. That was the most fun and most informative part. I was able to talk to these successful published writers that she already had as clients. And I learned a lot about what working with an agent is like, especially because it was my first agent and I didn't really know anything about what the process looked like. And so the calls that I made to her clients were what confirmed that I was making the right choice. Calls with an editor, I think, are a little trickier because, at least for me, the pressure feels higher. Your choice doesn't just affect you, but I can't help feeling like it affects your agent too. But the same with the agent, you want to be sure that they have the same vision for your book as you do. For example, when I was shopping with What If a Fish, I talked to an editor who at first we thought was pretty excited, but What If a Fish has elements of magical realism in it. And she was wanting me to push the magic part and making it more fantasy. And this was a case where this was a non-Latinx editor who was looking for something in my book that wasn't part of my vision. And it was really important to me that I played that magical realism very lightly in the book. The editor who ended up buying What If a Fish, Amanda Ramirez from Simon & Schuster, was so enthusiastic about the story. And the call with her was so much fun. She shared some of her personal background with me on that call, that she has an older brother, just like Eddie in my book has a much older brother. And she's Puerto Rican, and she had just visited her grandmother on the island when she got my manuscript that talks about that character's experience in Cartagena and Colombia. And she told me how much she loved reliving her experience through Eddie's story. And that personal touch meant so much to me because I knew that she was a brand new agent. My book was actually her very first book. And I was sold because I knew that she was personally invested in my story. So you want an agent and editor to be people that you can really trust with your art.
Great, Emma.
I think that when you have that call, you really need to talk to the agent about their editorial vision and their timeline. There is a big difference between an agent who is acting sort of like a scout and is finding manuscripts and going to place them with publishers, and an agent who is going to be editing your book and trying to manage your work as a larger, not only as a larger career, but really trying to make your work the best possible before they bring it to submission. I don't know that one is better than the other, but I know that it will eliminate a lot of anxiety and confusion if you are very clear on what is expected from the beginning. There are agents who you send them a manuscript, they do one edit of it, and they send it to editors. There are agents who will work with you on your manuscript for over a year before they send it to a single editor. Those are approaches that different agents have, and different agents have varying levels of success with those different approaches. So you have to know what you can expect when you are going into working with an agent. Similarly, I think you do have to know what kind of communication is going to be available to you. Are you going to speak to your agent over the phone? Are you going to speak to them via email? How often will you speak? In most cases, that'll vary. So my agent and I, sometimes we'll go weeks and weeks and weeks and we won't talk at all, but then we'll be really close to bringing a project to submission and we'll have calls maybe weekly for that period of time. So it really depends on what season you're in and also how that agent works. does your agent want to be CC'd on all of your communication, or do they really prefer to just handle contracts and then kind of step back once the book has been acquired? How much does the agent support your publication process, not only to getting you the contract, but once the book has been acquired, will they help you navigate what's happening with your publisher in-house, which is another really useful thing that an agent can do. So figuring out exactly how your agent works is going to be really useful. And it's also going to set some ground expectations that can be very helpful, right? You should know that your agent is going to, for example, keep you informed of submissions. I always receive a spreadsheet from my agent that she updates periodically as rejections and offers come in for any given manuscript. And that's really useful. And I also think it's kind of like the base level of information that you should be receiving. So I think setting those expectations and just getting a sense of, you know, what is not only the editorial vision, but what is sort of the working vision? What is the process going to be like for you? And then of course, making sure that your editorial vision lines up, because your agent can't enthusiastically submit something that they are like, oh, I would like it if you did this and you don't want to do that thing. So making sure those visions line up. And then I think when you're on the phone with an editor, hopefully by then you have an agent, and your agent will probably talk to you either before that call with the editor or maybe communicate with you about it via email, so you'll have a sense of what kind of information you're looking for. Your agent will often be involved in that call. When I have calls with editors, not all the time, but many times my agent is on the call. And so she is able to ask additional questions to help us get clarity from the editor on what they plan on asking for in terms of revisions, because that's what you want to know when you talk to an editor, particularly if you're in the situation where you have any choice about who is going to acquire your book. You really want to know whose advice resonates most with you, whose idea of what this book should look like is the one that most excites you. And in the event that you're on a call with an editor and you have an agent, ideally your agent is there to help kind of tease out that information. Sometimes it's hard to tell from an email what people really want in a revision or what people really want to make of your book. And so the agent should be able to help you with that.
Thank you, Emma. Your thoughts, Vanessa?
Well, I love the call. I totally remember how it felt to get that email, like, let's hop on the phone email. And that's really what it was. It was just one sentence, let's hop on the phone, you know? And so that excitement, I can still conjure that up right now. I took advice from my critique partner for the list of questions, because her agent was one of the offering agents. I ended up having, because when you get an offer and if you have fulls out there, you should let everyone else know that you've received an offer. And then they get like a week to read your manuscript and weigh in on whether they want to offer representation. And so I had three offers for representation. And so I had to set up all these calls, and I was totally freaking out because I didn't really think about that part. Like, what am I going to ask? And so I actually still have my list right in front of me. I remember writing it down, like exactly what I was going to ask. Number one was, where do you see my book going? I wanted to know what her vision was, what their vision was for my book. And I asked all three agents these questions. What is your submission process? Do you cast a wide net, or you just submit to like three or four editors, see what happens? Or do you just like put it out there in a wide net and see who bites? Are you editorial? I knew that I really wanted an editorial agent. I wanted someone who would be collaborative with me for my work. So that was really important to me. And these are things that I already kind of knew about them because I did my research before I even submitted to them, which is also very important. And how accessible are you? Can I text you? Is it just email? Can we jump on the phone? I wanted to know what I was in for if we did sign. Is your agency collaborative? I really liked that idea of having an agency where all the agents sort of, you know, passed around work, and I'm with the Bent agency, and they're very collaborative, and I just love them. I wanted to know about their film and foreign rights. Like, do they do their own foreign rights? What about film rights? What happens there? I wanted to be able to contact some of their clients for references and speak to them. And that was super fun to do. And I wanted to know how many books they worked on per year, how many clients they had, which is actually information that I could look at on their website, but I wanted to hear it from them as well. And then just you kind of get a feel for all those questions, like which ones you click with. And the decision is hard. I mean, it's weird because you put that net out there and you just want someone to love your book. And then when more than one person does, turning someone down for loving your book feels so weird. It feels so wrong and sad. I actually cried, but I ended up signing with an agent that I love, and we make a great team. And that's what really is the most important. And I guess questions for editors, that came down the pipe for me when my book went to auction. And so all of a sudden in 1 week, I had all these phone calls lined up to interview editors who were going to be partaking in the auction. And that's where I really wanted to know how many books they worked on per year. Like, am I going to be like a small fish in a big pool, or what is this going to look like? And what their vision was for my book. And so I had a lot of the very same questions for the editor that I had for my agent when I went through that process. But it was also really fun to interview them because I felt like I was somewhat in the driver's seat then. And, you know, it's not always that way. So that would be, that's my list of questions.
Great. Yeah, I would agree with everyone. The call is one of the most exciting parts of the publishing journey. For me, with my current agent, I remember it was very important because I knew that I was going to try to write in Kidlit, and I'd been writing adult books for a while, that she could represent both. And so I think if you want to work in more than one genre or to write for more than one audience, it's important that this agent is in it with you for the long haul, and that they can and are keen on representing you through all of those various journeys. So that was really important to me. I also, because I was coming off with an agent who was not we did not have a good match in terms of communication style. I wanted to get a sense of how responsive she was. I wanted to get a sense of what her editorial process was like. I think another thing that's important is finding out how they handle submissions, because they all do it a little bit differently, right? Some agents don't necessarily give you the list of who they're submitting to, and then some are just an open book and give you all the information that you need, that kind of thing. So part of that conversation, that call with the agent especially, is sort of knowing what you require in a good professional relationship and finding out if this person can provide that, right? So it's, again, it's communication styles and how they do the submissions. Other points that were said before, like how do they handle foreign rights and film rights and these kinds of things? How do they handle editing your book? Those are all important questions to have. And then ultimately feeling like, you know, you're comfortable talking with that person. I had an agent in the past who used to scare me, like she was terrifying. And so like I would like stroke my dog while talking to her, right? Because she just made me anxious. And this is not to bag on her at all. It's just we weren't quite a good match. And I was very young when I signed with her, and, you know, eager and didn't know to ask those questions. You know, and my current agent, I feel very comfortable talking with her, very honest with her, right? This is a person who could potentially tell you about a project, I don't like it. Or like about an idea like that, I don't like it. And are you okay with that? Right? Like, this is a person who sometimes will deliver rough news to you. So, and then also joyous news. So is this a person that you can ride those waves with? Right? And that's hard to do, because that's sort of trusting your gut instinct. I think a call with an editor is a little bit different, right? Because this person now is going to take your book to acquisitions, and they are excited about your book. And at least in my case, my agent has been on the call with me for these conversations, just because I trust her to remember to ask the questions that I forget. But, you know, getting a sense, sort of like what was said before, of what their vision of your book is, what their hopes for that book are, how they might imagine that their marketing and publicity team would promote that book. Just getting a good sense, and making sure, again, that your vision aligns with them. You know, if it's your one offer, I think you have less wiggle room there. But if it is a situation where it's an auction, then, you know, you really can pick and choose. And that's a really delightful thing, you know, when that happens. But yeah, those would be my tips for those calls, which are sort of the best thing. And they're so much fun. And congratulations to everyone who will get that little email that says let's hop on the phone, because it's awesome. Well, I hope you all enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Las Musas Books. And be sure to check out our bookshop page, where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also sign up for Las Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musa news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more delivered straight to your inbox. Thanks for listening.